not the agenda. The apologies that I have I'm honourable to allow to utilize PowerPoint to recognize the issue. I'm sure the members will get a page that link that is on, so that all of us can just refer to it directly, but it should be at that. It's on page 138. So, if I think we know it came to take that copy along to everyone, you should have that in front of you as we go through. So, if we need it, all right. So, on that note, I'd also like to welcome members from the NPCI to the Secure Alarm. Thank you very much. And also to indicate the help of us, the Honourable Oriani Anthony, who has joined us again. Thank you very much. You're very welcome. And of course, the Honourable Compassionate. Thank you. Over to yourself now, Mohammed.
Thank you, Mayor, for receiving the presentation. What we have done with this presentation is to give an introduction to the committee on the operation of the complaint handling and the alternative dispute resolution section of the National Security Commission. The first is an overview. There are three directors in the investigations and enforcement division. There's the investigation director, the complaint and the director, and the AR, the alternative dispute resolution director.
I know if you haven't been to Parliament or Parliament, I'm not sure where anything comes from. But the refreshment booth is at the bottom, so those of us who aren't new, yeah.
Sorry for that. Now, in the complaint handling director, we have a unit that is tasked with the function of ensuring the annual resolution of continued complaints. And this is only facilitating communication between the consumers and suppliers. The unit deals with all consumer related complaints except those excluded by the Act. There are two work streams in the unit. The first work stream comprises of a contact center, which is the first interface between the Commission and consumers, and it has a call center, which consists of five telephones, and the complaints are received through fax, email, and by post. There are also walking that they're coming to the office. But most of the complaints are received by email and fax. Walk-ins are the complaints of counter-information, in person to lottery complaints, and to query various issues, or equipped verbal explanations of systems compliance versus. The categorization of complaints are from all sectors of the economy. Includes the loading industry, retailer manufacturing, the ICT industry, timeshare, fitness centers, property, financial services, government municipalities, and medical and educational sector. All complaints are evidence, registered, and provided with their complaint number. I'm not sure whether I've received it. What happens is the receipt is acknowledged, the complaints are received, and this is done within 24 hours. A letter is then attached to a letter, and that is sent to the respondent, which is given 10 days to respond. Any formulation are matters which do not constitute a complaint as defined in the Act. These matters are transaction complaints and dealt with in one of two ways. Either the party can reformulate the complaint and the guidelines so that the matter becomes a complaint or is identified as a complaint, and or the party can abandon the matter and find it proposed. In Workstream 2, complaints are iterated from Workstream 1 to Workstream 2 on a weekly basis. These complaints are checked as an accounting spreadsheet. Before complaints are categorized, they are captured on the Workstream 2 spreadsheet for allocation purposes. Reflector has a good thing. The dominant category on the test, and we call it likely to become complex. In the follow-up protein, after complexity is the same, they're distributed with respect to individuals dealing with them. Follow-up protein conducted from both respondents and complaints. Protein plates are evolved or settled at the level of entity, and depending mainly on the nature of complaints. Follow-ups are conducted in various forms, maybe telephonically, by email, post, etc. For the official office in phone consultation, a content agreement is prepared, and where there is no response from a respondent, a default compliance notice is issued so as not to prejudice the consumer without any further delay, or without any further delay. Block meetings are held to streamline complaints received against one supplier in order to improve on the effectiveness and efficiency of complaint handling. This is done by a team with the size of the best method of communication to ensure the speedy resolution of matters. Now, this is an analysis, I hope the slide is getting up, of the categories of complaints. Now, and the numbers of complaints that the entity is dealing with since the first mistake of this year, since the beginning of the financial year. One will notice that complaints in the motor vehicle industry is the area where we find the most complaints being lodged. We have got dealing with 1,367 complaints in the motor vehicle industry.
If I can just remind the members in this room, not automatically switched off after a certain time. So if you can just check the link, or switch off every few minutes and switch on.
Thank you. I thought you were wrong. In the financial services sector, we've received, and we are dealing with, not received, we are dealing with, now remember this is from the 3rd of April this year. Some of them are carryovers from the previous year, and then the additional ones that came in from the 3rd of April until the end of August. There are 424 matters in the financial services sector. In the retail, there are 1,198 matters. And so it goes on. I could go through each and every category. But the committee may want to take to look at the slide. And maybe ask questions. If I then proceed to the next slide. This is a slide that talks to the change that we are able to extract from the complaints received. Now, in the motor vehicle industry, the 2,357 complaints, the complaints relate essentially to misleading information, defective motor vehicles, poor service, undisturbed information from dealers, unfair business practices by dealers. The majority of complaints are against small dealership, but also large dealership. There is a tendency for dealers to mislead consumers when vehicles are taken for repairs or service by the dealers quoting a specific amount, but charging a larger amount when the vehicles are collected at the end of the day, after repair. In the financial services sector, we also deal with lots of misleading information, unfair business practices, unfair terms and conditions, unauthorized debits, debt counselors who fail to distribute money according to credit providers, and your financial institutions continue debiting consumers' accounts after consumers have settled accounts. Those are the claims that is expected with regards to financial services. And so it goes on in retail, in the promotions and schemes, with regard to IDT, timeshare. In timeshare, for instance, the problems related to contract cancellation, again, misleading information, unpaid terms and conditions, unpaid terms and contracts. Most of the containers we some temple becomes that, you see that that's in a longer pause, the high performance, and also because they really use the point allocation. You receive new complaints against location of the class, it's rather easy for the in the system center, we find strong arm tactics used to break confusers or find contact, but the contact are cancelled because the users cannot afford to, but they feel that they have they could really want to become as they ought to be, and then they cancel their contact. But the problems that the same that we are inside of is contact of the cancellation and authorized status over prior contact, computer cancelling the contact, they're being charged a high penalty fee as high as the sense of the remainder of the term of the contact that is due in terms of the remainder of the contact, and so on. And then we go on to in government and municipalities. Most of the complaints lodged are against government institutions and municipalities. The majority of complaints about poor service, failure to connect electricity, even after checking the account, and poor service. Overbilling is also a complaint when it comes to municipalities.
agreements are reduced into content agreements in terms of section 34 of the Act,
where there's a violation in terms of the provisions of the Disability Protection Act, compliance with this issue. Letters used to consider telephonic conciliation takes place, it's one of the letters, and then there's a formal conciliation letter where the complainant and the respondent sit together and the conciliator look at the matter and then they either become agreement or there's a dispute, and after the dispute the matter is then taken further. The outcomes of the anticipated outcomes of the conciliation is settlement agreement, a non-referral. A non-referral is when after both submissions is made from both the complainant and respondent, and if you found that the complainant is equivalent, then a non-referral is issued. A compliance process I've already referred to is issued in terms of Section 100 of the Act, and that happens where there's a clear contravention of the consumer protection. The buyer has a right, in terms of Section 101 of the Act, to object within 15 days after service by waiving application to the National Consumer Tribunal. The consumer also has a right to approach the National Consumer Tribunal if they do not agree with a decision by the Commission, if the Commission issues a non-deferral. The U.S. receives urgent and non-urgent matters. All urgent matters are set down within 48 hours and dealt with 1 to 2 weeks. I think they happen on a Thursday. Non-urgent matters follow the normal process of set down. Conciliators are allocated files to deal with on a daily basis and report are submitted monthly by them. This is an analysis of all the complaints per category dealt with by the alternative to the resolution section. And here again, we can see that the motor vehicle industry has the most complaints. Promotion and fraud. Promotion and fraud is the least in terms of number of matters that we are dealing with. ICT, psychology, finance, for the agencies, probably certain people, or dealt with the certain people. I think that earlier, some of these matters were sent over from the previous year. And on to the next slide. This is an analysis of the trend that we have noted. In the motor vehicle industry, again, detected second-hand and new motor vehicles, non-disclosure of information about accidents, failure to repair motor vehicles, warranty issues, etc. And so it goes on. You see in the timeshare industry, again, you see advertising, cancellation of potential contracts. The potential contract issue is an important issue because it goes on forever. Those complaints are from FlexiClub, Qualification Club, and Global Travel Alliance. In education, we find that cancellation of agreements and under the book refusal to refund off the cancellation are the most of the problems that occur. This is an analysis from all the cases from today. I think the total of the cases in the complaint handling unit and the alternative resolution unit. The cases that were to be conciliated are 4,382. There are 1,115 consent agreements, compliance notices 332, non-deferral 252, and withdrawals of complaints by consumers 95. The complaint resolution rate is also the dispute resolution, which is an analysis of process complaints. A percentage, you see that consent agreements have been entered into in 62% of the cases, and they comprise about 1,115 matters. 332 compliance notices the issue that there constitutes about 18% of masses, 252 non-externals, that's 15% of masses, and the total 5%. With regard to the performance of the unit, 4,302 have been resiliated, that is 31%, and 1,804 have been resolved, which constitutes 39%. The summary of work output on this event, the complaints go forward, 8,405. The complaints received for the period is 5,090. The matters resolved were 4,949, and there are 8,596. The challenges that the NCC faces is the call center personnel. We need to, this is covered in the last few days, and I've been talking to staff about it. The call center system. We lack a proper case management system. There's a shortage of conciliators. There is no dedicated fax machine, and more computers are required. Let me bring to the end the sentence of the complaint before the National Consumer Commission.
Just on that point, then, before we go to the legal position, do you wish to raise any questions from Mr. Garth so far?
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for this part of the presentation. It's very hard to develop a picture about the volume of complaints and the other percentages that are involved. And you created a new verb called conciliator. Unless one has a time-series year on year. And so it's good to have a snapshot, but what's required is actually a 10-year or 8-year or 5-year time-series just to see how the volume features in terms of year-on-year comparison and how one can then look at how effective you are in resolving them one way or the other. So the question was really about whether it's possible to put together a picture, say, over the last 10 years in terms of the data that you have. Understand that you're only doing the job to see that, so I'm just putting it out there.
All right,
we'll take a question. Thank you very much to the Commission, and congratulations to your person for the visit. I just wanted to check, you can see from the complaints that were brought forward on the 1st of April, the complaints that you have now, there's actually a slight increase of about 150, but there's certainly a decrease in the number of pending cases. In other words, the backlog is still growing, which is a concern. Do you, in your very short period in the office, have any ideas about how you can address that backlog more quickly? And then the issue of the inadequate equipment, especially a dedicated fax machine, seems kind of negatively. Why is that? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Andrew Branca.
Well, thank you very much for the Chair. Also, a word of congratulations to Mohamed, wishing you well. And when I look at slide 12, I'm asking myself whether in the food chain area, as well as hospitals, is it implying that the complaints are not good enough to warrant the so that's my third question. And then the second question is on the challenges, where we come. we have a plan of overcoming this kind of problems. If we don't have a way of overcoming them, they are going to be that they are very much very frustrated.
Thank you very much. And you'll be making a note of all of those
Thank you, Dr. Sen. I also confirm my colleague's in congratulating Mr. Mongol in his appointment. I know this call is a hot seat because I didn't need sensitive issues. In particular, when I have to be with the gun, like the MCI and the Borough Home of People, I require for the financial market. We can drive you for the daytime. All of the times when you see the challenge is off. So the issue of the challenge, when the challenge is which are there, in the challenge which are there, which of the challenges are mainly created by the shortage of population? Is it by the time constraint or the incompetence or the time of continental or whatever? When is it? Even the issue of the budget, if I was clear. And then number two, on the issue of the comparison, you can see that somewhere they think that they have to put these things in line with the Consumer Tribunal regulation. How far does that impede your work as a commission? Because you have to say, I'll make an example, Mr. President. If a labor inspector has to go to a company, you can go and observe that, hey, certain things, the labor laws are not being observed properly. If they have to go to the same AFS or the government, that it means that they will not be able to report. How far does that challenge them as a commission in doing that all?
Thank you very much, Honourable. The last question just then was around the Honourable on the island.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. And through you, congratulations to the Commissioner for Commiseration, because he has taken over one of the most difficult jobs in the country. And he's doing so under the well-recognized lack of resources and the underfunding. So I feel bad in putting additional pressure on you, Madam Chairman, the Commissioner, but it's my job. Now, I have developed a specific and particular interest in respect of this segment of the industry, which I find particularly oppressive of each and every consumer, the banking industry, the insurance industry, and the cell phone industry. And in respect of the cell phone, and we set up a website called daylightrobbery.com to receive a complaint from consumers. The Consumer Protection Commission under the Act has got the power of conducting its own investigation, and actually its own investigation is the time of the complaint. So the first thing I would like to urge your people to take a look at this website, because it reflects how people feel. And they are not technically complained, but could be the basis of the commission action itself. The second question is about roaming charges by telecom companies abroad. And I need to read through the legal part of that afterwards. And in the first part of the presentation, there is no specific reference to other banking insurance or cell phones, while in the second part, there is direct reference to the cell phone. In my investigation, I have seen that cell companies charge for roaming, for data roaming abroad, with being completely unable to justify the basis of the charge, especially in respect of countries such as the United States, where the data roaming is on a monthly basis and not a quantity basis. They cannot demonstrate what the consumer has consumed. Obviously, they violate a number of sections in the Act. And I'm wondering why stronger action has not been taken. And I'd like to know also what type of enforcement actions or complaints that you receive in respect of the banking industry and insurance industry.
Thank you very much. We don't have the policy to try and turn. We can group them as you so wish. We can have the issues. We get away with the delivery of the department.
Yeah, this is a long concern.
thanks for letting me to the website paylab.com. I will certainly have a look at that and look after my coffee in the book. With regard to your inquiries related to banking and children, cell phone, roaming charges and so on, I think it's my third day. I am really unable to respond in detail to that, but I could go back to the organization and I could then provide a detailed response to the committee, if that's acceptable. With regards to the question on compliance mechanism, I think I understood the question to be that the work of the commission is impeded if one has to go to the tribunal every time because conduct has to be declared to be prohibited by the tribunal before compliance with the condition. There is an ongoing dispute of interpretation at this point, and I think there is a matter before court. I haven't seen any documents, I haven't read any, but I should also be able to respond to that more fully once I have a better understanding of that. With regard to the question on the timeline.
Sorry, you're just contacting about the issue about the dispute, the ongoing dispute.
Yes.
You're talking about the interpretation of that particular clause, and the dispute is between who and who, the complainant.
The National Consumer Commission is challenging the interpretation set by the National Consumer Tribunal. National Consumer Commission is challenging the National Consumer Tribunal. The National Consumer Commission has been operating for just over a year and a half. So we don't have all that information. So that is my response. We would have that sort of information available as we go along. The question with regard to the growing backlog. So there again, I would have to go back. I'd have to check the past and figures. And that prompt up sort of a strategy or to avoid an increasing backlog. If that is the thing that's possible. Thank you. I think there is one more question. The one on the food chain and on the bank charges. Have I not dealt with it? Maybe the challenges, most of the challenges relate to budget. That is the impression that I have. I also need to go back and check the budget. I haven't been able to do that, but that is from the information that I do have available. So that is the question. Plan to overcome challenges. Well, again, one has to go and investigate exactly how doable it is and what the resources are available. And I don't think it ought to be too difficult. One prioritizes exactly what needs to be done most urgently in order to make the organization more effective. I aim to see to these challenges and better versions. I didn't quite get the question on food chains and not before. I'm not too sure what the question was.
Yes, will you repeat that?
Not from this chair. I'm thinking about the amount shop or around chain shops that and around food that sometimes comes in, especially in housing shops where you find dollars that are applied. Housing shops, rotten meat will be sold there, and shipment will differ from a high class apple, for instance. So I was asking whether claim are not naturally acknowledged. That was the question. When it comes to medical area, is what happens again, the moment of life, is to pathology of it. Thank you.
So, you know, I forget about one of the last moments.
The second one about the medical areas would be expensive, especially in private clinics, where you find that by the time medical aid and protect, you know, such areas. So, to find out whether are there no complaints, not in my family, against medical aid.
Sorry, thank you. With regard to rotten food, I do know this is an issue last year, and I know that the Commission did deal with the matter in certain areas. We must remember that this report deals with matters received from April this year. If it is not mentioned here, then I would assume that we haven't had complaints about this topic from this year. But certainly there's an issue in the year prior to that. I do not have the details, but you know that could also be really interesting. We could provide those details. Or it could be in the annual report that has been tabled today. With regards to medical areas, we had launched an investigation into the medical aid scheme. That is outside of the actual event, that is a proactive investigation. That is an ongoing investigation. Although we had questions of medical aid on just exactly how they charge and would be treated by gender bias. But I do not know if there is any complaint as such. It is not mentioned. It doesn't seem to be covered in the report, but that can investigate. I do not think so, unless it is covered in the more general medical services area. I could go back and I could ask very specific questions and I could come back to you on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, do you have any further questions, perhaps comments in this area?
Noting
that there will be material coming back in Britain.
Honourable Forgetting. Thank you, Mr. President. I think I appreciate the position of the Acting Commissioner is in. That it has removed kids from the box, you from the box. So that's what we can do. It will be also responsible. But what I'd like to say, Mr. President, is that the SEC only waiting for the complaint from the public, or as they see this channel to arise today, and I can make an example. I thought my colleague here wasn't speaking about the change of the old community. When you go to a hyper pharma, the change from when you go straight to the department, you find out the end of and go and buy the just for us really. But the very same chain store, you see it in the township. When it goes to the township, get a door and it's a free. Checking full of goods, man. Checking full of goods. You can see that nothing else for 2 months, man. 1 week of high supper. Maybe close to the door, man. When you go to the one in the township, it's going to place the food. Well, for therefore, if you have what you see, they still think, man, that's just people to check again. The goods are heavy. When are you in a country part in town? This thing will not happen. So therefore, do you deal with such people? Or do you intend to deal with such people? Because really, I think our coach should provide that we are all too fast for you.
No, I think it will follow the same trend that we see. But there was a time in our meetings when we complained about the towing car industry.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we asked that to be scrutinized because it's like a
traffic would become. Once there's an accident on a major road or any freeway, under that desperation, those people are less fast, more fast than ambulance. They are there and quickly take the car. And that will free me from their storage. They will charge not less than 5,000. And the following day, it's already 10,000. So it's something that must be seriously reduced. And I do have an example of this. A particular one that we can start with, which is very notorious, I'll give you the name.
Thank you very much, Honorable Monata. I have just one question for myself. The one was with respect to referrals. You gave an analysis of cases on records to date, that cases be conciliated, etc., and there's a reference to non-referrals. Does the NCC not refer to cases that perhaps they can't deal with, for whatever reason, to other ombudsmen that we have already established? Why would it be non-referral? Because it isn't relevant. What would be the nature of that? The other thing here as well is that I see that there's an alternative, what is it called here, conciliation or reconciliation unit, which has been established and falls within the NCC itself. I'm not aware that we have a reference to how many cases were dealt with by an alternative dispute resolution. I may have overlooked that. If you did make a reference to alternative dispute resolution, you've got some those here, which is complaints resolved resolution in the index. I think we do have them here, and we've also got the non-referrals there again. So, the withdrawals are made by the complainant, am I correct, and then withdrawn. What is the nature of the withdrawals? Have they been advised by the NCC to withdraw them, or is it a very voluntary process, that particular one? And then, related to that, the difference between the consent agreement and the compliance notices, where it would appear as if the consent agreement would be the route to go if there was something wrong. And that really only if there was a situation where the person did not agree with it, you would then have to slap a compliance notice on. Could we just get a better understanding of why we can't get more compliance notices at consent agreements? You know, what's the actual challenge there?
With regard to the question of the differences between consumers, the aspect is quite clear that all consumers should be treated equally and there should be no prejudice. I don't think that any complaint is ever lodged with the Commission, but I think your question was going to be through the Commission that it will act as well by having defined that. The Commission does a proactive investigation, but it hasn't done one in this regard. And it is something that maybe one should look at and see whether the investigation should be done. With regard to the toll trucks, I'm not sure whether there was a question or a comment.
The question and the comment.
Okay. I know that there has been also in the previous year, complaints about those drugs, and even by ourselves as the Department of Trade and Industry, the Office of Consumer Protection there, we used to deal with a lot of those drug complaints, and it was included in the investigation. In fact, when the consultants who were the most definitive on code of conduct, we brought in the whole question of toll trucks as well, because they are just devastating over in the area. So what I'm suggesting is to go back and to look at what is happening in the toll truck industry with regard to the work done by the Commission today. And then I can respond. With regard to referral, firstly, a non-referral is a matter where the consumer is on not to have a valid complaint for the medium, but the patient complaint. That is very on the term of the issue. So it doesn't amount to a complaint in terms of the consumer protection act. But and the withdrawal, I'm not clear to whether they are actually happened, and that has also need to come back to the committee. With regard to the difference between a consent notice and a compliance order, consent notice is entered into one has a conversation between the parties, and the parties agree, and then there is a settlement agreement that is what the consent notice is. A compliance notice is where we ponder despite it being proved and shown that there has been a certain refuse of that knowledge and then compliance of the
thank you very much on that particular report. It would also be useful, we had asked earlier for an HR breakdown, it was more to get the gender breakdown here, how many people, you know, fully were employed in some positions, because I did this myself about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, that just going through the material, it appears as if capacity was part of the challenge. And therefore, what was the staffing, where were the gaps, et cetera, that posed problems in the 3R framework. Now, we haven't yet got this material, and I didn't hear you make reference to it when you arrived, so it would be useful to know that is here as well.
I do have some information, not included in my presentation, because when I asked the presentation to be prepared, I relied on the letter that I received from the committee. It didn't include the HR and therefore I did not include it in the presentation itself. But I do have some of that information available. The approved establishment of the NCC, if I may do so, before I mention it, I have copies of it.
The participant, is that not what will be in the annual report available to us?
I'm not sure what is in the annual report. I haven't read the annual report.
All right, okay.
So maybe it is there. But there are 72. There are 72 persons employed in the NCC currently. The approved establishment provides for, I think, up to 120 persons that are employed in the commission. Of the approved establishment, 34 positions have been filled within the structure. And 38 positions have been filled outside of the structure. This information came to light yesterday. And I need to go back to get a better understanding of what and how this has happened. There are 37 males, which accounts for 51% of the stock. There are 5 females, which accounts for 49%. The demographic breakdown would be about 98.6% African and 1% Indian. That would be me.
could you just explain what you mean when you talk about inside and outside of structure? You spoke about things, you know, the codes that have been filled inside the structure being 24. Outside the structure, what
do you
think outside the structure? What structure are we talking about?
Before the establishment of the commission, the department set up the National Consumer Commission, the framework for National Consumer Commission, and the minister approved a certain staff establishment structure. And that structure approved by the minister allows and provides for, I'm not sure the exact figure, but I think it's about 120 persons. They would constitute all the parts in the commission. There are, now, all those processes, then, the structure, what is it? Yeah, 34 of those positions have been filled. Then there are 58 persons who have been employed by the commission who are not provided for in the structure.
Oh.
They don't meet the post.
I think we understand now what it's been like. Michael, please. Well, maybe we, of the information we've requested, some of it is coming back and writing, but I do believe we've had a fair amount given to us this morning. Of course, we haven't actually requested the annual report, but we've got it, and included in the annual report, which you can refer to, is on
Tribunal, the rulings of the Tribunal, and the Commission's view on the judgment as it stood at the time. It must be said it's possible that the Commission has never referred the compliant person to the National Consumer Tribunal at all. This is in line with the view of the Commission on the enforcement procedure set out at least implied in the Act. In terms of that procedure, the Commission has a duty to investigate and open investigation. If it is a view that prohibited conduct has taken place, it needs to issue a compliance notice to which an agreed party can object in terms of the 11th section of the Act. In all matters of the Consumer Commission as a chair of the tribunal, it is the result of the party that has been issued in the compliance notice objecting. The Commission is therefore a respondent and not an applicant. The Commission has issued compliance notices in the following matters, all of which were objected and some of which have already been heard by the NCT tribunal. The City of Johannesburg, Top TV, the whole list is on the more from the side, the turn side, King World and so on, up to old fashioned. With regard to the city of Joburg, the compliance with notice was issued because of poor quality service complaints in breach of Section 54 of the Consumer Protection Act for failure to end timely due to complaints and also Section 48 for failure to render an accurate account. The tribunal dismissed the compliance notice based on the argument that the NCC did not conclude an investigation and that the Commission cannot issue a compliance notice based on the fact that the City of Joburg was frustrating the Commission in implying the agreed dispute resolution procedure. In the top TV matter, the compliance notice was issued because it was found that the series of prior agreements were not compliant with the Consumer Protection Act, and there are certain sections mentioned there. The Commission withdrew the notice after it agreed that the judgment in the multi-choice matter where it is identical be equal to the TV matter. In the self-conflict client matter, the client was prior to agreement and on terms and conditions that are non-compliant with the particular section mentioned there, 1495-1444 Act. This matter has not been set down yet. Set on the road yet, the first party is to work on the agreement and it is ready to be approved as compliant. In the telecom credit power matter, compliance purposes was done because the prior agreement was non-compliant with the 11th section there mentioned there. When the matter parties agreed to continue working together, and there also an agreement almost ready to adopt it for the compliant. In the telecom matter, compliance was an issue because a failure to account properly and switching off of the consumer's electricity really complained. So this is done in violation of Section 48 of the Act. The application... It could be a comment. It could be a comment. I need to check that.
Yes, and when you say commission, that last paragraph is the commission set aside the commission application.
No, the tribunal set aside the commission
application. Okay.
On the basis that the commission does not have any legal standing. In
with regard to the BMW South Africa asset, their notice was issued, compliance notice was issued, for failure to comply with section 3 there, which deals with the defects of the in the multi-choice matter, again, for non-compliance of certain sections, which is an empty funding section. Here, the compliance notice was set aside by the tribunal on the basis that the commission did not consult sufficiently or consult with the charter as provided for in section 102. It says here that the commission did consult with the charter on the 26th of August, 2011, but the tribunal agreed with the intention by multi-choice that consultation was not sufficient to consult.
The commissioner and team, for having given us a presentation which
takes us to understand the difficulty. This is a good presentation. It has to be done in small forms that happens when we provide local information. And on the legal side, and I'm not sure, I have two reactions in mind. I mean, if I were, for you, Madam Chairman, your member of your board of directors, I would be tempted, Commissioner, I would be tempted on the one hand to say, get yourself as a lawyer. But on the other hand, I would be tempted to say, you are drawing pain. And I think that they are drawing pain not only on the side of the Commission, but probably, and I would like to comment on that, on the side of the tribunal. It would seem that some of the parameters, I mean, these things suggest that there is a contradictory obvious, but it seems that some of the parameters, the rules of the game, and the precedent, how much consultation is consultation, has been established. So I'd like to comment on whether, I know it's premature, so that people from this team can comment on whether we could reasonably expect consolidation of jurisprudence, consolidation of effectiveness of prosecution, so that by next year, the type of difficulty highlighted in this report will be possible. And that's the first question. The second comment, which is very short, take one to educate the child. The value of this thing should be targeted. But the value of this action should be to let people know. And even though I'm a member of Parliament, Independent Industry Committee, a person of the diligence that I should be, what I've learned today, I have not learned from newspapers. And I'm wondering whether the Commission should not make an greater effort in public life. It's enforcement action. Mm-hmm. I know that there are limits in budget, you cannot buy advertisements, but let's say what gets out that certain companies have found problems, certain companies have found themselves not in compliance, so that there would be a greater internal impetus in verifying that compliance with any adopted newly enforcement human protection act.
Thank you very much, Honourable
James. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I had a question about the City of Johannesburg matter.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly the building issue was a major consumer question. And I just don't understand what the title actually means. I think this is two issues. The first is where you say that the tribunal dismissed the compliance notice based on the argument that the NCC did not conclude the investigation. The question is, what failure was that? You can just comment on that, why the NCC did not conclude an investigation. And the second might be a matter of Gamma and me, but it's actually important for you to frame the statement accurately. You say that the Commission cannot issue a compliance notice. Now, the Commission not only can, but it may not. So, please have a look at that. And the second is based on the fact that, and so on. You mean to say based simply on the fact that? So you can look at that very carefully. Thank you.
It's important when one is going down a little street, you know, to try to be as clear as possible on the matter. But Honourable Hill Lewis.
Thank you, Chairperson. Acting Commissioner, one should never read every time I read the newspapers and couldn't have seen it before I've met you before. I just wanted to clarify, were you the Deputy Commissioner? How long have you worked for those policies? Because that's what the newspaper said. I'm not saying I might be completely wrong.
I've been the Deputy
Commissioner.
Wait, just a minute. Sorry, I think that's another question. Then I want to ask about, specifically in the City of Johannesburg matter, when a matter has been overturned by the tribunal, do you still have the space to reinvestigate a different complaint but against the same offender in inverted commas, or is that matter now closed permanently? Because as you well know, the building issue in Joburg is far from over, and there may be scope to re-look at that matter if you're allowed to. So if you just on the, the other one is about group complaints, and this goes to Johannesburg as well. You know, thousands of people who are affected by drug crisis in Joburg. And so that's the law doesn't allow for class action, but does your, the Law Act allow for you to approach Joburg and issue compliance notices on behalf of civil applicants or complainants? You can clarify that as well.
Quite remarkable. You will have the opportunity, Mr. Hamilton, and I think you are preparing your response. I'm all familiar.
But then you would understand that I think this is one day where a rapid okay in the community, where I find myself in agreement with one of the Ambrosians. One of the other occasions, yes. But I don't agree with him more. When he said that the big hospital taking law on the hospital, then it must be separated. Then, because I think that this commission, Jefferson, if I had my way, it would have been chapter 9. I would have made it to be independent because it deals with the automatic issue, which affects everyone across the land. I would have done that, I would have done that. But I think this issue of the compliance has not lost ever. Really, we must have a sort of a champion of resolving that. Yeah. Because really, this commission, Jefferson, it has made our work very easy. SMP. I'll give you an example. In 2000, a certain consultant of mine had an account with Louis Stores. Whereby, when you have an account, they send you this monthly magazine. Once they send you that monthly magazine, it becomes like a funeral policy insurance for the account holder. So if you're supposed to issue 2001, it took about 1.5 years to resolve that case. Louis was refusing to pay that amount of money. Fast track 2011. The same shop provided expensive goods to another consumer, Vodafone. This matter was reported to the committee. The commission was believing that within 2 weeks it was resolved. Within 2 weeks it was resolved. That's why I compare with this report, where you see that some of the issues are resolved electronically. That issue, for those it was resolved within 2 weeks. So, see that the National Consumer Committee becomes one of the key structures in supporting democracy within our country. So, really, I'll appreciate the acting commissioner to really take care of this institution and ensure that it has it, so that it can protect it. Because the most vulnerable people who are protected by the commission are those who find the township and the rural area.
Thank you. Very much, Uncle Kedere. Would we just have a comment on all my bars, so please come in.
No offense, I also wish to wish the FC Commissioner well in leading and handling this task. It is one of the instruments of effecting transformation, because when we look at where we come from, that's South Africa, a country divided in many areas, but mainly on race. So, and as well as a country where we can class the poorest of the poor, the downtrodden, are not protected by the law. So, we just urge the Commission to continue making its hands. Because if it has become too much of the power, they will find that things will slip through their fingers. So all I say is that well done and the report is next. And in a very short time, because it became an instrument of value to South Africans. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Barker. So I'm just going to conclude, Gary, on this occasion. As long as Mohammed, you may like to respond to some of the questions now. If you say you don't have all your facts, just indicate to us so that they can come back in writing.
With regards to the Honourable Embassy question on interpretation of the law, on carrying pens,
What I intend to do is foster better relationships with the National Consumer Tribunal in order to sort out, firstly, all the requirements in order to ensure that proper processes are followed, but also to have discussions around interpretation of the law so that we have the same understanding as to what the interpretations are, and then to forge ahead and go forward. I think that will go a long way to resolving some of these difficulties without us having to resort to any legal recourse. So that is one of the things that I would your second comment about it is well taken on publicizing some of the important actions of the National Consumer Commission. That will certainly be taken in adopt and we will do what we can. With regard to the City of Joburg, I would have to come back to the Commission on that. I mean, to the committee on that. I'm not sure what the tribunal meant by the statement that the Commission did not conclude its investigation. I would be very into that and also the language and so on, and I'll come back to you on that. To the committee for it. With regard to the Honourable Dean Lewis' question on the Deputy Commissioner, if I had been the Deputy Commissioner, I was appointed by the Minister, and my appointment took effect from the 1st of January last year. With regard to the City of Joburg and whether another complaint can be brought against them, yes, no, can. Provided that the due process is followed, there would be no issue with that. You are not quite ready to be there, action is not brought into the law. It can be brought into the Consumer Protection Act. So, yes. And I think that the Honourable Tadeo has satisfied already, and I do think that the Honourable Lars Barth, the question I think you made a comment.
Yes. Thank you very much, Acting Commissioner. I think we had already reached began to reach position during our engagement on this matter now for some time. Some understanding as a committee that we did need to review one or two clauses of the Act. The one was the interpretation of compliance and how it should be done, because quite clearly that is an issue that the NCT itself has and the NCT, and there are apparently two different interpretations on the matter. There's also another area in which if the actual clause, but our legal advocate, Van Lerber may recall, in which there's actually a clause missing that made reference to, it actually doesn't exist in the Act. Which one was that, Advocate Van Lerber?
71.
I think it refers to Subsection 69, Sub 1,
and 69, Sub 2, which
none. So you can see that there are certain clauses within the Act itself that would require we draw attention to the House on the matter. And as I said, the issue of compliance may become clearer to us as we proceed, but there does seem to be there is no clear interpretation on the matter. It is very difficult for two entities to conduct their work and work together when each is holding a very, very different understanding of what is required of them. And I think a reference was even made to that by the Honourable Kadebi at the very beginning of this meeting, the need for us all to have the same understanding of what the law requires of us. The third thing that has been raised was the question respect to the work of the NCC has been the budget the adequacy of budget per se. The fourth thing has been the capacity of the MCC, perhaps both in terms of facial staff as well as actual bodies, people around the place, the numbers. Do we have sufficient for it to carry out its work effectively? And these are issues that are raised above and beyond whoever is sitting in the actual position itself. The first thing that has been raised, of course, has been the processes and procedures around the matter of undertaking one's mandate, so to say. And I think the final aspect which has been made here is the need, members are saying, the committee for the MCC to become a little bit more proactive in its work. But if already the complaints it's receiving, it can barely keep pace with, I'm not sure what space is allowed them to be proactive. And I really just make this comment because we've got to be realistic. What space is there if you, you know, you're, the water's already full in the glass. The comment is about wanting to set an example utilizing one case. And I think that's really what you meant, wasn't it, Honourable Ariane Ambassini? You know, when you spoke, when you utilized an anecdotal,
you know what it
was, yes. That I think the important thing is, what do you do? If you've got so much budget, so many people, how best do you undertake your work? And I suppose that was why we were talking about utilizing one example to try and send a message to everyone there. But I ask this question again to Mohammed, and I've raised it every time the MCC have come here. What is the relationship with the provinces in respect of this legislation? Because provinces, many of them I understand, have got consumer protection units, etc. Now, what is the relationship there, and how best can the work be shared? Or is that not possible in this case, if that could be clearer. Members, I think we had a constructive meeting today, I'm sure you will agree. Where can we expect responses to this, Mr. Mohammed, the outstanding work?
Probably you're referring to the outstanding information that we decided at the top of this meeting. It could be by the end of next week, but that is sufficient time.
Yes, I think we'd be happy with that, won't we? So, we're looking at by next Friday, say Thursday then, next Thursday, so that we know we have got this here by Friday. Whatever date that is, Mr. Herman? Thursday the 12th. If we could have the Thursday, if we could have the material, the responses back Friday, that would be very helpful. Yes, on the line, I'm not seeing
it. I'm pretty sure that this needs to get a very nice time, like, and as this with all the humility, I need to raise a point of concern about this time, like in response to response. If there are problems in interpreting the act, I think it would be highly improper for the Commission to sit down with the tribunal to determine what the act means. The principle of independence of any court is that the court has no reading of the law, has no understanding of the law, has no opinion on the law, before it receives the submission of two parties, to receive the court with a problem in the interpretation of the law. If the enforcing agency sits down with a tribunal, between the two of them develop an understanding of what the law means and interpretation of the law, and this is publicized, that there are no maintenance to do, it would undermine the position of independence of the tribunal and really flaw the mechanism of check and balance appeals in the law.
That would say for ourselves, we are obliged, I'm saying, in terms of how we take things out. And because that was, I think, the 2008 Act, if I'm not mistaken. And there is a need sometimes for us to revisit these acts. We cannot allow it to remain flawed. And therefore, in our report, we would need to alert the minister to this situation. But I cannot agree enough with the points made in the committee that you really ought to make the public aware of what has been done and some of the challenges that you are facing. We want to know there's been a lot of work done here and let people know what you are doing so that they can approach you for more help in this regard. I want to thank you, Mr. Muhammad, for coming here in your diverse engagement as acting commissioner. Thank you very much. And members, we could just have a very short tea break. I know it's supposed to be 10 minutes or so. It was planned to be 10 minutes, but at least get here at 5 to 12. Thank you.
I'm Thank you. where it interacted with the cooperative there,
must express appreciation to the department for taking advantage of their officials with us. And the cooperative that we met, but let me start off by saying who constituted this team. It was myself, Mr. Lau, and we must express appreciation because the other two that were, though he was not very well, but he sacrificed to undertake Mr. Gil Lewis here, Mr. Huang, and Ms. Helen, who, as usual, is taking the work as a content advisor, but she was still in Google here.
Yeah.
Okay. In next place, the cooperatives that were met are listed there. But the subcommittee is going to discuss this report and table it after looking at it and correcting it. And from there, then, the following day on the 4th, at 8 a.m., where we were also warmly welcomed by the teacher, Mr. Naidu was one of them in 8 a.m., and everything went well. So we made observations, which we will discuss in the subcommittee, and thereafter, when we table the report, it will be a report that tells the authority of the subcommittee. Let me, for a moment, cross that.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Barker, for leading the subcommittee there on that exercise and continuing to do so very effectively within the subcommittee. And at this particular point, it's not necessary for others to add because you'll be doing that in the subcommittee itself when you work on the report. If we can ask the department to pick up where it is for at our last meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. And I must say that I thank all the honourable members, especially the subcommittee, which were working very well. The subcommittee at work is very progressing very well there. We have looked at all the issues which honourable Chair Babanso alluded to, have been discussed in the subcommittee. Particularly, we have already agreed, I will put it very vastly, on the formulation of the what we call it, chapter 1, which deals specifically with disability, all the issues that we identified as areas that need to be now written down and corrected in terms of the amendment. Financial statements, social reports, management report, as well as the board, the independent review, the independent reviewer, and all those particular issues that fall under the definition. We already put together a document, a CCI, which was provided to our legal advisor, who is currently formulating all of those issues into the bill. There is a joint bill which combines the separation of the two. We are working within that particular bill to bring in all these amendments. So the first work that we anticipate to present on Thursday, or which is on the following day, which is Friday, will be around the definition. We anticipate that work will be ready for us to present it, Madam Chair, to the committee so that we can then show explicitly, in express words, what are those words clauses look like in terms of the definition of all these areas. So, that work is not available today, but we'll present it tomorrow. I think that should be the same. Thank you.
So that's
regarding
the definition.
Yeah, that would be the first work. And then the rest of the other work, we've already agreed also in the committee, if I could just add that, Madam Chair, that we will address all the issues that pertain to the bill, and then we will then come to the committee with all those amendments which will be colored blue, that touches all the areas that are going to be amended within the issues that we submitted in the public comment process, which we are now going to now cover entirely after the meeting tomorrow, where we have presented the they accept the one which that is the agreement. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm just going to address the
agreement
because this is not where I've noted we should be. I just need to consult here because I'm not sure now when you say that this will only be done after tomorrow's meeting. You know, I'm wondering what we're doing tomorrow morning then on the cover. So if we can just, we're just adjourning this meeting for 2 minutes.
Unfortunately, he has a gift from a family, his brother-in-law is late.
something, these are condolences that go up to you. So over to yourself, and I wonder if you can just where we can just a little, I can see you now from both of you. Thank you very much.
And I refer you to the report of the Faculty on Operative Medicine of 29 August 2012. We have a half a page report at the front, and you page over, you will see a table. Then I will take you through these definitions. In respect of the first block, the first row there, that is what I think he said. Now, in the drafting convention, the rare word only be one in a row, that word is not defined in the section of your definition. It's defined in the specific section where it is used. So you make a definition, and then we have dealt with the active definition. So activity plan will be defined, but not in section 1. It will be done in section 29, which is clause 26 of the Commandment Bill. And the activity plan is simply editor business. It's a document that summarizes the operational and financial objectives of the operative, and A, sets clear business goals for the next financial year, with the reasons why these goals are the need to get tables, and C, determine how funds and goals will be utilized. So that is what we need for the financial people. The next aspect was understanding that the ILA, in respect of the common disease from the accounting fraternity, that annual accounting report to them was a little confusing project, and so it just becomes annual report. And this is done throughout. If I can maybe send these two lines down, if that happens with audited annual accounting report, it becomes audited report. So, and it's simply an annual report means the documents are made in financial statements, a social report, and a management decision report. Also, maybe just if you can find that information as well, the IRS has indicated that our own process of already developing the framework, the reporting framework for cooperatives with the accounting body. So in this framework, the provision will be made for how to deal with social reports and management decision reports. Then in terms of audit, audit definition, that's the next decision there. What brought me to mind was the Auditing Profession Act. And what we have done for this is we have adjusted the Accounting Profession Act to also include social reports and major journalism norms.
Here. And they're all pretty
page 2.
Okay.
Yes, on the day.
On page 1, I initially was the time of the first day.
Yeah. Let's check. I'm going to pause checking and it's all the last thing. Thank you. Page 2.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know, that's why I'm asking. I don't know. Who else was prison from that day that had a lot of because I'm not just taking that for granted, I don't know. Present yourself, Honourable Mahatma Havili, do you recall that red tasting and also your nerve? Do you recall that at all? The red tape reduction workshop to reduce administrative requirements.
I think
we'll call it just for this morning. Yeah, I think what's in minutes, we must ask you to check on that. We can't pass these until we do have clarification on that. So we'll just put those aside when they refer and just check because there are two areas with a query. That's one of them. Next of August, Wednesday the 8th, we've got quite a full house this time. Opening and welcome. Yes, Honourable Arthur.
I'm not sure if I'm taking it back to page 3 under the committee forecast on the following.
Is
it
true?
Are we talking
about?
Okay, but we're not adjusting them. Okay, but I just thought why is it for that 3.3, we have made 1, just look at that 12 I invented.
You
check
the it's laid down, it's in pot. It's been in decision for 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah. Came out in 2009. Yeah. So that means, yeah. But it's really true that we are checking on them. That's what's important. Wednesday the 8th, we were on page 2 at that point.
Why are we not adopting that? Are we going to adopt it together?
No, because you see, although, as you say, you recall the small and medium, I recall it, but I'm not 100% certain. I think as they are minutes, we need to ensure that that is correct. That's the fourth point. Page 3. Moving on, we have to focus on the following at the bottom. Page 4. Not so much the racial composition, the race issue was raised in our question, but so were 2 or 3 other issues. We raised the issue of gender, we raised the issue of Caucasian, we raised many issues there. So it is the demographic composition. It's the whole, it's a breakdown, a composition breakdown of the NCCHR. Which we didn't at least today morning, when we got published today. All right, can we have someone to propose a motion of those with the amendment? All right, let's see who was here. Salahful not here, but Elizabeth not here. Arnold Kazeris, my master. Arnold Arthur, moving. Seconded by Arnold Kazeris. Right. Arnold
Kazeris? Just.
On page?
On the 3rd of August, once again, on some page, say Monday the 3rd of August is registered as a weekday, and that is in fact Friday.
Friday, yes, what happens.
Which is, I think, why there's probably so many.
Can we please, Mr. Hurley, check everything in these notes again? See the whole one, and just correct that one. I hope you've all checked whether you are to find the register or not. Have you got one more? Page 2. Right, thank you very much. Please can we have someone to refer to the adoption of those minutes? Last bit. Let me see who was present here. Paul, actually, 17th of August. Club for Barker. We had co-opted Lumsey, Mabasa, Mandelurna, James, McIntosh. And Pat, you can propose thank you, Honourable James. Taking this advice. He's just walked out the room now. Honourable Mabasa. Are you taking me these minutes? We just gone to Honourable Mabasa the Senate. There were no issues when he raised
the
thank you very much. We've got one set of minutes which we have not approved and adopted, and they'll come back next week. Thank you very much. Thank you to our neighbours. If you would just make sure you hand in your correct name to the Deputy Secretary, we don't want to make sure you get the name. So we want to thank you very much. Welcome to the state. We're going to get a briefing now on coming outstanding issues on information from the Parliament Legal Advisor and Mr. Vandenberg. Thank you for your patience and I think you were on the audit team of the front. Thank you.
Subsection 4, the board may be invited by way of a resolution
according to that ritual, the remainder of the period is only in substation 3. According to the prescript, it's under the constitution of the cooperative. Provided that such resolution must be ratified at the next general meeting held by the cooperative. Five, all other issues related to the board of directors, which are not provided for in this act, must be provided for in the constitution of the operative. I just realized that that is the meeting with of directors, without the three board directors, so we will be able to deal with that. So what can happen here is that your board will really, if the vacancy on board, be able to appoint the director for the remainder of the term. It won't be for 5 years or whatever, what the original term, but only for the remainder of the term. But this decision will then be ratified at the first general meeting, whether it's an annual general meeting or a special general meeting. Anyway, we continue with another amendment, but this amendment was already part of the bill, and it's just being repeated, so you have the full picture as being repeated. I think I'm not going to read it because we're not changing anything. Then the next decision is that of the Office of Principles. And you will see that there's a little highlight in the left-hand column. What we have done is cooperative principles, it was agreed, must be taken out of the preamble, placed into the definition, and made to be something that cooperative must comply with. That's what the principles that we work with. So what it's done is we've taken it from the preamble and try to put it in a definition form. But at this point in time, we take the advantage to try to help with the wording of it, because it's difficult definition to work with. Quite a long definition. It's easy if you put it into the preamble because you can have lots of sentences that relate to the one principle. But in a definition, you should not really have multiple sentences in a paragraph. So I'm not at this point I'm going to read this definition. It is a work in progress. But that is what we have done. However, what I can refer you to is the next page. There will be an amendment to section 3 which deals with cooperative principles. So that we will now have clause 3 going like this. Section 3 of the Principal Act is thereby amended. A, by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following. 1. A cooperative must comply with cooperative principles. And, for the purposes of this act, a cooperative is deemed to comply with cooperative principles. If, and then there's a number of things that the act lists. So, then the following question there is simply the full wording of clause 3. So I won't read to the left because we're not expecting that. The next definition is financial statement. And what is simply done here is aligned to the company act. Say, for a little bit of tweaking to bring it in line with what cooperatives need. And I'll tell you where that tweaking is. B, the income statement. The Companies Act has a very long description for this word. It's simply income statement. That's what it is. And then C, where the Companies Act speaks of equity. That's not something that we have with cooperatives, so we change to membership share. The financial statements mean statements drafted by the board, which is called now the board of directors, and include a statement of financial position, a balance sheet at the end of the period, an income statement, a statement of changes in membership shares for the period, a statement of cash flows for the period, and notes comprising a summary and accountability and other explanatory notes. It's not the punctuation in those things, the later bank drafting rules aren't being complied with it, but this is simply to give you an idea of the content of the definition. The next definition of independent review. Again, this was something that we had to change so that taking into account your special reports, your management decision reports, this is again based on a comment from the accounting profession. So what we've done is, again, as we've done with the audit, we have aligned it and trying to have them read the same. So that it is independent review means an assessment of the financial statement as well as social and management decision report. With an objective to conclude you perform preliminary inquiry and analytical procedures and evaluating the sufficiency and appropriateness of evidence obtained. When the inking has come to the attention of the practitioner and caused the practitioner to believe the financial statements, structural reports and management reports are not prepared in all material respects in accordance with the applicable reporting framework. But simply to check the reports against the framework and say whether they comply. The next definition is that of independent reviewer, and again we have taken the comment on board that we need to broaden this the definition quite a bit, because it was excluding a number of items. So the definition of the was actually taken on board. So the independent reviewer now means a registered auditor or a member in the standing of a professional body that has been accredited in terms of the review of the Auditing Professions Act, or B, a person who is qualified to be appointed as an accounting officer of a closed corporation in terms of Section 60 sub 1, sub 2 and 4 of the Closed Corporations Act 1984, Act 169 and 1984. And perhaps something that did come up in the subcommittee was whether the Closed Corporations Act is still relevant. And we of course had looked into that, but the Closed Corporations Act has nothing with you. So it's definitely still operational and it definitely takes out certain aspects. Now, all three of these sub-clauses together gives you certain professions that will be able, certain persons that will qualify to be an independent reviewer. So it is definitely still a relevant clause. And of course, should it happen that the Closed Corporations Act is repealed in its entirety, the bill that does that, or the amendment act that does that, will in any case will come here, and then there will probably be a general section saying that wherever there's a reference to the Closed Corporations Act, it will be a reference to whatever the new act is. So it will be dealt with by the future day. And as I say, at this point in time, it's definitely still applicable. The next definition B, independent review report, it is again the same thing, wages and reviewers, annual accounting, all of those things were not something that the accounting profession is not uncomfortable with. So the word itself is changed to independent review report. I've just noticed something here. We need a line to the auditing report, but it also includes the social report and the management decision report. So I actually have the wording. It will read, independent review report means an annual report, so the accounting day comes out, an annual report by an independent reviewer examining and evaluating the financial statements, social report and management decision report.
Examining
annual report by an independent reviewer, examining and evaluating the financial statements, social report, and management decision report. We compiled this piece to have everything that has been amended, and when I read through again document B, I realized the unsafe, but management and social report must be included in this, and I realized it wasn't there, so that's what we will make sure that we've got to address that. Then the next two definitions actually deals with these elusive social report and management decision report. So now a social report is the total new definition, means an assessment report drafted by the board, and that assesses the social impact and ethical performance of the cooperative in relation to standard vision, mission, goals, and the code of social responsibility of the cooperative. A management decision report means an assessment report drafted by the board and that assesses compliance to legislation as well as the cooperative's constitutional requirements by the cooperative. So even the social report deals with the social responsibility and the management decision report deals with compliance. Then, when we look at the next definition B is to predict annual revenue and annual revenue. The section that we will do is section 15A, clause 14. And you will see that this, in subsection 1, it is the manager must prescribe the monetary threshold for the annual revenue or projected annual revenue for each requirement category of primary operators. So as I explained in the beginning, the legislative drafting principle is if the word is only used once, then it must be in that section and not in the general definition section. So this, these two definitions will be incorporated in section 15A and not in section 1. And the proposed definitions are projected annual revenue for purposes of this section means an estimate of the growth in scale of the economic benefits for a period equal to financial year that a newly established cooperative project may be arriving in the course of the ordinance may be earned in work with the
project
may be early, actually, or later. Perhaps to check on that. That one we will definitely just check on in the course of the ordinary activities during the first financial year. Because the what we want for predicted annual revenue is that it's an estimate for a financial year of earnings that they might be getting out of the ordinary activities. So we'll just make sure what the word is that is missing, but there's definitely a word missing with the And then annual revenue, you will recognize immediately from the above one. Annual revenue means the growth in scope of economic benefits during financial year arising in the course of ordinary activities of cooperatives. So those were the definitions that we looked at in the subcommittee. And these are being incorporated into the combined goal, which is what we do to our
well, thank you very much, Advocate Van der Merwe, thank you. And we do take cognizance of the fact that one of the two areas you just gave to look at. And then we do have also our other advocate here. Now I'm just wondering the communication. There's some communication going on, but you also need to with the local advocate and so on. Right, from the VTR now, we have advocate Strain, and you're very welcome. I don't know if you knew that you were going to come here this morning and, or whether you've just been hijacked. But owe to yourself, Mr. Jeff and Duma as well, because you finished, I understood that at this point you've come over to yourself. And you be telling us how you had merged the two acts. Am I right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Ted. I think that we should hand over to our advocates to take us through the process as well as also the content of the making of the two legislation in terms of the decision that was made by the Portfolio Committee. So that's the end.
Your permission, Madam Chair, good afternoon to all honourable members. And maybe before I say anything, you can apologise for having been out of first convention for the copy of 50 days due to commitment from the drawing. So if it is safe to say that in that first maybe I'll be rejecting some of the responsibilities that I suppose to assume here, but please find me as Madam Chair, you're quite right. I was unaware of the possibility that I might be able to see yesterday. We met yesterday morning. We were supposed to have a subcommittee meeting yesterday morning. That fell through, but we utilized the opportunity to discuss what was going on. And pursuant to that little meeting, we decided that I would go to the Army office. Incorporating some proposed for confirmation by the committee, and that is what I've been doing. I've been called by my colleague, Ms. Cookaloo, over there. I hope I'm in the picture as far as the issue is concerned. And now it's a result of the two roles that's been merged and the process that's been followed as far as the concerned. And then just allow me to go back. may be slightly from a historical perspective. When the cooperative in England was initially submitted to the Office of the State of Inquiry, it was not a split vote. It was actually a single vote. What happened then is that in considering that section, single section 750, which is appropriately deemed by the department, the special advisors arrived at the conclusion that a relatively small part of that bill is not section 75, actually section 76. Because it, according to the view that was expressed then, it relates to intergovernmental kind of arrangements, to provinces, to municipalities, and those kind of arrangements. And therefore, that a part of the bill has to be split. And from there, the two bills, the short one is section 76, but the longer version is section 75. And rather strange coincidence then took place after the two books were being introduced into Parliament by the Minister of Trade and Industry. It was submitted to the so-called JTN, the Joint Standing Mechanism in Parliament. And the advisors from that unit came to the initial conclusion of the Parliament, when the Minister of Trade and Industry, that the Section 75 bill has been incorrectly classified as such, and that the short bill is also a Section 75 bill, just as the longer version. Needless to say, then, from the ministerial perspective, the first possibility would be to withdraw the Section 76 bill, which has been introduced in the Parliament, and introduce the latter as a Section 75 bill. There would all be a mistake. I don't think we need to argue that matter. That would have been very, very important. Because the two bills speak to one another. They deal with the same subject matter. And they should rightly, at the outset, have been a single bill. So then the decision was taken to simply say, rather than going that cumbersome route, let's just take the, if we read right at the end, then it's not necessary to do so in a memo, we will see the references to section 75. So what we decided to do, this happened actually in my absence, but before departing from here, the debate had already arisen and the matter was discussed. You will recall it in chair. So simply what happened then was to take the short bill, the section 76, it should be 75 bill, and incorporate into the section the longer version. And that is the question that has been dealt with by Advocate Alan Small in the Office of the Chief Special Advisor. I met with him, I came back to Cape Town on Tuesday, I met yesterday with Alan Small. We now have what we call, and I hope my terminology is right, and it corresponds with what you've been dealing with in the committee. We now have the so-called consolidated bill. Now, it was not a simple exercise of stacking the sections in the short bill, you know, I call it the short version, and just put it right at the end of the longer version. Needless to say, it was necessary to reflect on the provision and see where they would be best suited to be incorporated into the longer version. That process has taken place. It has not been done by me, as I've mentioned, but that is the consolidated bill that is currently before the committee. Maybe I can leave it there for a while. Just allow me one last little sentiment to say. Why it was necessary to do, I hope this honorable committee is not going to become notorious for re-drafting bills in the committee. I feel it is indeed necessary to re-draft the bill, because now, if we get to the technical stages of amending the bill, it would not be possible to do the formal technical amendment as normally agreed to by your committee on the basis of these documents, because they know that they're not direct. And that is why there will be a re-draft, and hopefully, I'm not sure whether it's even undertaking. I'm not sure if what I'm being exposed to later today and tomorrow, but I will do my utmost. My colleagues here, advocate Cardinal, and my colleagues sitting over here, and opposite Alan Smallgrain, and thanks for burning for us in the meantime, so a lot of work. And what I will still be doing this afternoon and later today and tomorrow, and hopefully have it finalized by noon tomorrow, is that consolidated version of the bill, incorporating not in a prescriptive manner, but incorporating possible amendments for consideration by this honourable committee. They will be clearly, we haven't got the advantage now of an A bill, clearly fixing all the amendments and rest. So we will do it by way of colour code, and hopefully by noon tomorrow we will have it available for the committee.
What I'm concerned about is who redrafts the SIP content if you're saying, well, the Parliament hasn't redrafted it yet.
No, you see, the Office of the Statutory Advisor is, of course, responsible for certifying all the laws. And they certify these two laws. And Edward Small, in that office, was responsible for consolidating the two laws into that city draft.
I'm just a bit puzzled about that process. I'm just wondering just where it comes from. You know, is there something in parliamentary rules and laws that I am concerned? And if you just allow us to have a minute, the adjournment here, because never notices that someone just would take your advice and say, thanks, I'll take them back from Parliament and redraft it. It somehow really works. So just give me a minute to find it if I understand. Thank you.
how office work in the case of executive vote, because this is a vote is used by the executive. It has been worked hand in hand with the special advisor and the department. So what we have is executive on the executive committee vote, a person from our office is allocated, a person from the central office is allocated, and then the department has a legal advisor allocated. And the three of us together form the drafting team. So this document, although it was prepared by the federal advisor, is a product of the drafting team. So perhaps you should not call this document in the redraft. This is simply a working document combining the two goals so that the committee can then start having a single document from which it can work. Because like Astrid said, the decision-making vote does not just slot in at the back. It actually changes the clauses. So you have to have the vote in a single document format before the committee. So this document is simply something to give the committee the idea of how it looks if the two offer together. Then what we'll bring to the committee next week will be this document with the two put together. And you'll see it looks like the prince and man are in place. But that's not actually what happens. That lots of this is the state and amendment bill. That's the wording of the state and amendment bill. So to ensure compliance with the principles of intergovernmental relations, to provide intergovernmental relations within the cooperative sector, that comes from the state and amendment bill. So if you're clocked in that way, if you just play through the document, you will find other luxury areas. And those luxury areas are another on the page 85. The full page here comes from the second amendment book. So that is how it's indicated in this document. And then what we'll do is the amendment will be in the blue. So that's quite clear. And then once the sector committee through that, and we're going to start adopting clause by clause, from the drafting team, we'll present you with the final document, which will then be the result of this
So as we have here, we're going to call this an operational draft of the chapter. It's not really drafted as such. We haven't actually worked on it, per se. We've asked somebody to put the two together. They've done that. We have still got to put a few extra things from the public hearing and so on. So I think that needs to be quite clear, because when we do get dropped, it then there changes number down there, you see, because there will be a redrafted one on that 61. I'm told the B17B2012 was originally the number for which bill? And so because this B, you're referring to the operational part. And the exact kind of thing that just makes me worry a bit is why it's got a thing there already when it's purely an operational draft, not actually. It hasn't come through us yet. And that's you see. So if you're forcing something out in the back room, so you code it. Yeah. So we must just make sure the codes are right, because some of you who work with the state law advisors and advocates know this will not be the first time Parliament has had a debate on over two bills. It happens in social development. So we don't want to have that purely on technicality. I'm sure we all agree on that issue. So having agreed on that issue, let's now on to the rule.
Just say, in the subcommittee, we don't use that code. It's actually not necessary. We refer to the subcommittee.
And you'd be correct, because we haven't yet coded it. We are going to, as soon as an advocate and the Merida has indicated certain other issues have been dealt with. I hope that everyone's quite correct on that point. Having done that, and at the same time, I don't want to belabor the committee's stretch beyond its capacities and things and deal with things. but we don't have an explanation of this. The next step would in fact be how it has been affected. Now, we need to get your advice on that. You may actually find it more constructive to get to that point once you've done the other insertion. So I'm getting that from yourself now. Better can comment. In my own opinion, I think we should just wait for that. In comments?
Yeah, so first time I think we agree with that, and that is the approach we are talking about, that we want to move according to that.
Right. So, other than that, you know, I don't think the point is here now to say where it went, etc. We've really learned that it is a lighter version, if you like, of the print. That is the second law. And we'll wait until you discuss this in the subcommittee, taking it one step further. Yourself as the two advocates here are able to deal with the legal aspects here and include Advocate Andamurba, who indicated the relevant comments from the public hearing in this regard. That's where we are at this stage. And having said that, I think we can't move further at this particular point. Do you want to comment on the work?
No, Chair. I'm not committed to it. So, the data book tomorrow, we
well, now we come to the next one. You see, the question for me is that we're simply not going to meet to get you told what we were told today. What we do need is for you to tell us how long it's going to take for you to bring us back something. That is what I need before I agree or not to a meeting or cancel it.
The document incorporating possible amendments would be ready by Monday. So if the committee was convinced to sit on May then, that document would be available.
Looking at the chairperson of the subcommittee, do you agree?
Yes, no, I think that's the document.
Parliamentary
advocate
on almost advocate member. Finally, Mr. Duma, you're agreed with that
position. Very much.
And because we don't have here, although I think you're part of that office honorable and advocate for the member is a sexual advisor. So I hope when you say Monday and you're in agreement with him, that your advisor would also find that. The only concern I have is that I don't want us to fall behind. I'm sure we all feel that way. So, and I know you've been doing a lot of work, and I want to thank you, all of you, on drafting team, but also the subcommittee that hasn't stopped working. Thank you very much. I also have some good news for the committee, and that is Dr. Wailima's application has been approved. You remember Dr. Wailima, those of you who were on that visit, and you will be held the 12th of September. And that, I take it, is a Wednesday. It's next Wednesday. Next Wednesday. I know this may sound ironic to some members of the committee, but I really like us all to be on time. So that we get a good free start on Wednesday, we can deal with this, and we get all documents that are coming to the committee. No later than Tuesday morning. We just want them given to us as we walk in. We want all the documents beforehand on this particular matter. I have one other announcement that to indicate, and that is we have been getting some correspondence with respect to horse racing. Some of you have been to one of the engagements. Many of the, or I shouldn't say many, but a number of the those who came to public hearings and we held them requested an opportunity to engage again. We all thought it would be before July. It hasn't happened, but we are going to continue doing this. We've begun the process, and we hope to pick it up with some FEMA, I forget the actual association, or club, you know, name of an entity. We will be dealing with that one. And I think there's nothing else from any other member of the committee. Yes, Honourable Hildreth?
Would you be inviting those from the subcommittee to that engagement with Ms. Young?
On the first engagement, she has asked specifically for a one-to-one. I never do one-to-one with most people, that is right now. I always either invite the whip or the main code, which is extended on the same practice. It's no different from this. I either conduct it with the whip, depending on the timing, but I don't even have a date available to you, finalized. But I just mentioned she has a request for that. Right. Thank you very much for everyone who came. The meeting tomorrow has been postponed until our regular meeting.